from Streamline Publishing and the Radio and Television Business Report and Radio Inc. magazine. Welcome to another exciting Hispanic radio podcast from Doral, Florida, and the Intercontinental Hotel, home of the 2018 Hispanic Radio Conference. This is Adam R. Jacobson. I am the editor-in-chief of RBR, the Radio and Television Business Report. With me right now is Tomas Martinez. Tomas is going to talk a little bit about his radio stations on the other side of Florida. He's in Southwest Florida. We know him from a lot of his experience working with some big market radio in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area. What we're going to talk about right now is the emerging Hispanic market, and he's doing some wonderful things outside of the Sarasota-Bradenton market. So here I am with Tomas. Tomas, welcome.
Thank you, Adam. The emerging markets, according to a class that I took at the NAB a long time ago, when I was part of the broadcast leadership training group, are really the markets that are offering us the best possibilities for success, especially in the Hispanic market. When we looked at the Southwest Florida area, and we looked in particular at the Sarasota, Sebring, Arcadia area, we found that there were 230,000 Hispanics, according to Geoscape, that lived in that area. And basically, they had no local media in Spanish that was based there. So we thought there might be a possibility there. Sure enough, 4 years ago, we bought our first two stations, WCCS-FM and WCSB-FM. WCSB has been on the air for now 20 years, but back in those days, it was recognized as the leading Spanish radio station in that in those communities. A couple years ago, we added to our group WTMY-AM, and now this year, thanks to our good friends at the FCC,
excellent,
we got a translator for WTMY. Now we have a WTMY-FM, which will cover the whole area of Sarasota.
So you have three radio stations?
Right, and one translator.
And one translator. So you're in a fairly small market when it comes to the Nielsen audio rankings, and we'll get to the sales challenges there. But in terms of programming, how can you really relate to the community when also dealing with the realities and challenges of attracting talent and keeping costs under control, because there is syndication. There are obviously ways to make syndication local and relevant to your listeners. How are you kind of dealing with the challenges and the pluses of being in a small market and getting that good quality content out there?
Well, when you first buy these assets, the first thing you have to figure out is how can I pay my bills? And one of the key ways of paying your bills is reducing your costs. So we brought in a couple of key syndication programs to our stations. One was Eugenio Lucas from California, and the other one was El Show del Mandril, which we no longer have. Now we have El Bueno, La Mala, y El Feo.
Sure.
But we needed to have some quality programming. At the same time, we kept local programming. We kept local programming on both stations, and now we have local programming on all three stations.
That's
without
great.
Local programming, you cannot really function in any market.
And the fact that you're able to do that in the smallest of markets is testament to the power of Hispanic radio being local.
Absolutely.
Even when you have a big national talent, you can still get that one local voice and really do something that's meaningful.
Yeah, and one of the things, Adam, that we did was we spent some money on research. We did not have any gut feelings of what the market needed. We wanted to find out about the realities of the market, the ages of the market, the nationalities of the market. That's how we came up with our programming philosophy, and that's how we came up with our sales strategies.
So speaking of sales, how in a small market can you successfully attract advertisers both on a national scale and local scale? Is it really simply a local scale, or can you get those big national advertisers to pay attention to a size of a city such as Sebring?
Well, on the local side, I think that people, number one, realize that their population, X percentage of their population is Hispanic, and they need to advertise to Hispanic if they want to increase their sales, number one. Number two is you take them some information that is census-based. You take them some information that is pertinent to their specific area where they serve their product or their services. In our case, I would say with, for example, the local agencies, our geoscape data that we generated was key in generating some agency business. Mm-hmm. Because we don't have local ratings in right. Sebring, for example. A long time ago, Sebring had Arbitron. We no longer have that.
So it is live, local, and experiential in a way as well, showing exactly what you do in the community to the community providers, the businesses, as well as the consumers. It's all one big group of people.
To make the business model work, you can't go on extremes. You have to come into a middle where you accommodate the needs of your company with your bottom line. And that's what we have done.
That's a really good success story. And I know that we're going to be hearing a lot of these success stories at the Hispanic Radio Conference, where we are right now, as we move forward away from Doral and the Hispanic Radio Conference, which concludes on Wednesday, March the 14th. We're going to have more conversations on a weekly basis through these podcasts. So thank you very much, Tomas, for taking the time with me today. I'm sure you hear noise in the background. There's a lot of excitement here. We are, again, in Doral with the Hispanic Radio Conference, and this officially kicks off a weekly series of Hispanic radio podcasts designed to get you informed and interested in attracting and capturing and keeping a very important consumer group, the U.S. Hispanic consumer. So thank you, Adam.
Thank you
very much. And we're going to go. This is a presentation of Streamline Publishing. I'm Adam R. Jacobson. Have a great day.